as I get closer to where he went off the road, I see a big black shape in the middle of the road walking. So I have to slam on my brakes and try to swerve myself because this thing is walking in the center of the road. Because I don't see a head and I don't see arms. I just see a really big, tall person, like big, thick legs and a big, thick torso. And they're moving very funny.
But to be honest, I wish I had have seen some of her vulnerability. I wish I'd have seen her in that space so that I would have language.
And he says, no. That's not why you're angry. That's why you're mad. Mad is on the surface. Mad is a surface emotion. You're angry. And anger is deep. That cuts to your soul. You are an angry young man. And I couldn't answer. I then had come to realize over the next course of a few hours, I'm musing to myself, and I realize I've been a victim my whole life. That's why I'm so angry. And over the course of the next 19 months, this man changed my life. He helped me to realize about processing emotion and how to forgive myself and forgive others. And that's where the metamorphosis really began for me. And I learned how to, I'm a survivor, right? I know how to survive.
I was understood for the first time in my entire life. And when I read those things and I learned, quote unquote, those things about myself that I had known forever, but never really had the semantics for, I couldn't unlearn them. Like I heard this quote years ago and it resonated with me so much. And it's like, you can choose to look the other way, but you can never again say you didn't know.
I want to welcome Edgar Fabian Frias today. Edgar is a boundary-breaking multidisciplinary artist based in Los Angeles with degrees in psychology, studio art, and an MFA in art practice from UC Berkeley. Their immersive works blend diverse artistic disciplines, challenging conventional categories. Frias explores resiliency and radical imagination through indigenous futurism, spirituality, and queer aesthetics. Welcome, Edgar.
Thank you. So glad to be here. I'm excited for this chat and really looking forward to connecting with you and your community.
So a quick background. I found Edgar on YouTube. I was doing a search one day, kind of going down a rabbit hole, looking at art and spirituality and creativity. And I ran into Edgar's YouTube channel and I started watching and then realizing what an amazing artist Edgar is. So I'm super honored that Edgar could be here today to share their story about art and counseling.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a pretty, I would say, non-linear journey to get here, to get to this point. Just to kind of go back, my family's from Mexico. I grew up in Southern California. I was born in East LA, but I grew up in a small town called Bloomington. And it was pretty rural. And I would say that growing up, I didn't really have much exposure to what we now, you know, see as contemporary art. I definitely had art and culture, but I wasn't exposed to contemporary art until I was like 14. And it was actually because I went on a field trip to the Los Angeles County Museum of Art. And during this field trip, I had what I would consider my first like altered state experience in front of an artwork. And that was really profound for me. It really was confusing and disorienting, as some of those experiences can be. And it just really impacted me so much that as soon as I got home, I was like, I need to know what this art thing is. And my mom took me to the library, the local library, and I immediately dove into a world of like art, And that quickly got me into psychology and mysticism. Like, I feel like I went from like Warhol to Dali to Duchamp. And then that led to Freud and then to Jung, and then started learning about mysticism and magic. And that was what really got me interested in both those realms. And when I went to my undergrad, I started with psychology because I, you know, grew up in a community that didn't really want me to go to college. I was Jehovah's Witness. And so it was a struggle to get my parents to feel like, okay, letting me go to college. And I knew that if I wanted to study art, that that would not be okay with them. So I started with psychology and then little by little started dabbling with art too. And ended up doing a double BA in both of those and ended up studying abroad. So I finished my art degree abroad in England. And that's where I met a ton of like queer and trans witches, folks who were living in like squatted houses, who were kind of anarchists, who were living underground. And it was so different for me and was really inspiring for me. And that's really, I think, what has really shaped me, because I've been someone who's done so much work in the underground as an organizer, as an event promoter, as a community person, like, and so it's really pushed me to inhabit these roles. And so kind of fast forwarding years later, I've gotten my license as a marriage family therapist. I'm licensed in California. I work with people in private practice doing somatic therapy. I work mostly with artists and with people who are highly sensitive. So a lot of the folks I work with are like witchy or, you know, intuitive. And I also work a lot with the queer and trans community, as you would imagine. And I also got into, you know, started also doing art and have now gotten to a place where I've exhibited my work all over. I've shown my work in museums. I'm performing in museums and galleries, and also have shown work out in community, like in public spaces. And so I'm someone who doesn't like to be limited and likes to really expand the places I reach and the communities I connect with. And I know that art is such a powerful medium to work with consciousness. As I shared, it's really what has gotten me into this place.
You are a true artist. Oh, I love this. Do you mostly do things in California now, or are you traveling around the country or out of the country?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. So I would say I've been mostly on the West Coast for a lot of my career, but I did spend some time, you know, like I said, abroad in England. I have done projects in different states. I did spend some time in Tulsa, Oklahoma doing a residency. And that really, I feel, was when I started to see my work go from being mostly shown on the West Coast to then kind of connecting with folks all over the country. And that's been like, was a big lesson for me, because I think I do have a dream and a goal of sharing my work in as many places as I can. And so I've also recently started spending more time in Mexico. And I, if things go as planned, might be traveling to a couple of other countries this year too. And so I am trying to share my work, and I've noticed like how helpful it is to go and connect with communities and other places, and how much that helps your work get disseminated and have people become interested in what you're doing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Thanks for sharing. You mentioned Warhol and Dali, so they were an inspiration to you. Were there any other artists that you kind of connected with that, kind of gave you some motivation or inspiration when you were like younger and touring some of the art museums?
Yeah, there were a lot. I would say a couple I could think of. You know, that artwork that I shared at LACMA was an artwork by Edward Kienholz, who was like an assemblage artist who would put together a lot of really intense works with just like, I would say, junk. And His work is really impactful. They actually have a piece right now up at LACMA of his that talks about abortion, and this was done in the 70s. And just to me, that piece has always been really impactful. And just thinking of the day, you know, the moment that we're in this country too, just seeing how artists, you know, many times call out things that are, you know, yeah, that need to be highlighted, and how that can become less or more relevant depending on what's happening in our cultural climate. And other artists I feel that were really impactful for me, one I can think of is Ana Mendieta, was definitely an impactful artist. Her performance work, her ritual work, her magic work, that to me was also really big. And so I think artists that I've was really inspired by were artists who were working with consciousness, with their bodies, and also trying to find non-normative ways of expressing. And I think that's what for me was really helpful, because I was the artist who started, when I got into my art program at UC Riverside in my undergrad, I knew that I didn't want to do painting and drawing, that I wanted to do everything else. And so I looked up to artists who kind of pushed up against mediums, who were creating their own ways of exchange and sharing, because I really felt like, if I'm not going to do painting and drawing, like, what am I going to do, right? And I think years later now in my practice at this moment, I am kind of returning back to painting and drawing, which is kind of funny, because it's, I think in a way, like, part of me pushing up against some of these boundaries is also me pushing up against internal boundaries that I feel in myself, sometimes telling me that, like, I'm not a painter, I'm not a drawer, I'm not a writer. Like, and, you know, I definitely have used my art practice as a way to really question, get curious about some of these assumptions I make about myself.
Yeah, that's really wise. When I look at some of your art, I see what you, because you mentioned pushing boundaries and challenging boundaries. And when I look at some of that, I see there's such an expansion of what you're expressing. And it's touching like a lot of different people in different categories and suits that we wear. And I see that. And I'm wondering, if you have, especially with in your therapy practice, if you see art as a voice. And I know a lot of people struggle with finding their voice in traditional ways, such as, you know, like maybe writing or speaking or whatever, especially speaking. So a lot of people have trouble speaking their truth and speaking what's really at their core. And so I'm wondering if art is a way for people to tap into that voice where they might not feel comfortable expressing it in more traditional ways.
Yeah, definitely. It's really helped me connect a lot more with my intuition. I actually work a lot with divination in my practice as an artist and also as a witch. And I feel like divination has really helped me create a deeper connection with my intuition, and also create a deeper connection with my ancestors, with guides that have come to me. And I think, you know, with that, I have had moments where I've had these guides or these ancestors literally deliver projects to me that are being almost handed off to me as a responsibility. And, you know, it makes the art making really easy, but it also means that I do have to take on the responsibility for a big undertaking. And, you know, a project that comes to mind around that was in 2017. I did a project called Give Us Home Spider. And this project essentially was me working with an environmentalist to look at different areas that are impacted by environmental racism. And the way this project came was that months before this project even started, I was doing work with obsidian. And with this work, I kept getting an image of myself dancing by the ocean. And I just, like, had no idea what this meant. But then months later, a curator from Long Beach, San Pedro area in California said that she had dreams of me dancing by the ocean. And that she knew that I was the right person to do a project for this upcoming exhibition, which is how this project started. And that to me was like a big moment of kind of coming to understand that something that I was developing individually, personally, privately, was also impacting others outside. And that's really what's made me become a deep believer in divination and intuition and connecting with yourself as a big part of your practice. And I think that's also why, as a therapist, I work a lot with mindfulness. I work a lot with helping guide people back to themselves. And I do that also as an artist and educator. Like I do a lot of workshops, for example, or events where I almost always start with mindfulness or some way of inviting people to come back to themselves. Because I've really witnessed like the magic that emerges from that, from having people really be in tune with their voice. And but yes, as you named, it is not an easy path to get there. Some of us, I know myself, I needed a lot of support to get to that place because there is so much noise in the world too that we have to work with. It can be for everything from distractions to like beliefs about ourselves. There's so many ways that we can have things come in the way that impact our ability to connect with our intuition.
Yeah, that's so true. I work a lot with intuition too, and it's something that we all are capable of, but I think some people have some fear around listening to wisdom, which is kind of another way to think about intuition is inner wisdom or divine wisdom, I think might be another label we could put on it. If someone is, let's say someone is aspiring like to tap into artistic intuition or the expression of art, what could you give as advice to someone who maybe they're thinking like maybe they are inspired by a specific type of art on social media and they keep being drawn to it and something's calling to them. What advice could you give someone who is like kind of on the fence, like, oh, I don't have time for this, or oh, you know, this would be such a supportive practice for me, but I just can't make time, you know, like what could you, how could you advise them?
I think, getting curious around that belief of, time, because I feel like, especially if you named like looking at social media, like I think, I wonder, like, what would it be like for you to switch out your social media time for art time, right? Like, what would it mean to create a container? And I think I work a lot with containers of time. And I feel like it's been really helpful for me to create containers where I just let myself explore and create. And so that's something I would really invite. Like, if you do, let's say, spend 30 minutes in the morning looking at social media, what would that look like for you to switch over to 30 minutes of exploring this medium that you're getting interested in and seeing what happens as you develop that practice? And I think, I was actually speaking with a writer yesterday who was sharing that he has like a writing practice every day of just like just writing for like an hour, and it can be about anything. And it just reminded me of different moments I've had in my life where I've created these types of containers. I used to, for example, like years ago, every day in the morning had a practice of creating a spell, and it was a visual spell. So I would work with like Photoshop or with collage, and I would make like a visual spell that was really a way for me to process my emotions for the day or what was happening. And this was such a profound practice, and I feel I started sharing them on social media, for example, and it's really connected me to so many people. This practice that I had for a while. And so I have seen the power of this. And I definitely use, as I said, containers for myself to make sure. Because I think, I'm actually reading this book right now called Digital Minimalism that is talking about like the way that social media and the internet and digital technologies in general, like how much they've co-opted and colonized our consciousness. And it's been done in a way that hasn't been really consensual, because a lot of us, when we signed up for social media or for email or for any of these technologies, they were done with a certain intention. But then there have been billions of dollars spent to manipulate us into spending more and more time with these practices. And so I think it is becoming more and more important for us as people to really set our own boundaries and create spaces for ourselves to develop and grow, especially for artists. I know it's something that we really do need, just time to experiment, to zone out, to read, to just do anything other than just, you know, being on something that is going to maybe be inspiring and maybe help connect you with people, but is not going to give you that space you need to develop as an artist. Because we do need space and time to really grow as artists.
I like that, the non-consensual. I might have to check that book out.
Highly recommend it. Yeah, it's been really great. I'm like in the middle of it, but I've been really enjoying reading it.
What was the name of it again?
Digital Minimalism.
Oh, who's the author, in case anyone's listening?
Let me find it really quick.
I like that. It's non-consensual. So yeah, I like your summary of that, you know, we all signed up for it. Have you ever tried to delete an account on social media, especially like Instagram? It is next to impossible.
Yeah. So the name of the author is Cal Newport.
Okay.
Newport. Yeah. But yeah, I have not done that, but I know so many people who've done that. I know people who've deleted and brought it back on. But like, mm-hmm. as you said, they don't make it easy. And I definitely know, like, I actually was just the last podcast I was on, the person I spoke to, they have gotten off of Instagram. And when they sent out a newsletter about it, I was like, oh my gosh, that's so wild, mm-hmm. you know? But I know like more and more people are deciding to do this. And
yeah,
you know, it's definitely something that I think is, we're all like feeling overwhelmed and overburdened by a lot of these technologies.
I think that's leading to a lot of our stress. Like I've gone through this for 2024. I decided to cut back on like my Instagram accounts. I'm just doing it. Like, I don't care. I have this podcast. Like, I'm just going to, like, you pretty much have to have Facebook nowadays because it just becomes a central hub. But why do we need Instagram when it's already posted on Facebook and it's just ads?
Yeah.
I don't get that. It's non-consensual, right? we didn't sign up. We wanted to share pictures with our friends and our family and our dogs and our cats. And we didn't really want to be bombarded by ads. And I just can't get on board with that. And it just seems like, yeah, it's a great way to connect with people. Absolutely. And especially for artists, like I could see that being very helpful to like, to like showcase your art, you know? Excuse me. But I also like what you said about being curious about how you use your time. And this kind of might tap back into this container of time that we give to social media. I like that. Non-consensual. I really like that. It's a different way of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, and I bring this up just because you brought up this feeling that we have of, I don't have time. And it does kind of make mm-hmm. me, it makes me question, because I do feel that, I feel that way too, of like, I barely have time for my art practice because all I'm doing is sending emails or updating social media. And it has made me start to question, like, you know, I know how important it is for me to develop as an artist and for me to really spend time making work. But I do spend so much time sending emails or just being on the internet. And it has made me start to question. That's even why I got interested in this book. And so I do think it is something for us to think about when we feel like we don't have time, to really get curious about what we're spending our time doing.
Be curious. Right. If you're already interested in a form of art, or you're drawn to something, like opening up that curiosity to allow yourself to explore it. That's really helpful.
Because I do feel like that is a part of your intuition, right? Like, I think that, mm-hmm. you know, as I shared with myself, was when I first saw art, like there was a part of me that just couldn't stop thinking about it. And I just was like, I need to know more about this. And it's like now led me into this life that I would never have imagined living. Like it's, you know, I don't come from a family of people who had businesses, and now I'm like solely supporting myself with my businesses. And I also don't come from a community of people who are represented in galleries or museums. And so it's like all of this stuff is something that I could not have imagined as a young person, but it was my curiosity that really started to guide me and move me in this direction.
Yeah, it became sort of your path by listening to your intuition. It's guided you in ways that you never imagined, especially coming from a family that was surrounded by stigma, because you mentioned that the challenges that you encountered with entering into college and getting multiple degrees, might I add, very impressive. That you went down that path of really exploring what was interesting to you. And I was wondering if you could share the challenges that you had, and maybe the stigma that you encountered when you sought out college.
Yeah, so as I said, I grew up Jehovah's Witness, and so there was a big belief in the Jehovah's Witness community that going to college was going to be detrimental. It was going to take you away from the quote unquote truth. And, you know, they weren't wrong because I feel like in my first, one of my first classes at UC Riverside was about civilizations before Greece and Rome. And to learn that there were so many different communities and cultures that also had stories about a flood, stories about origins of life that I had never heard about, it was one of those moments where I really started to question, like, else do I not know about? What else have I not been told? Because I had grown up in a community where I was told, like, this is the truth, this is the only way. And so it did spark that interest. And then on top of that, I started learning about queerness and transness and started learning about trans history and queer history. And there were so many things that I learned in my undergrad that did make me start to question if I wanted to be a part of that community. And but I think the big thing that actually made me leave the Jehovah's Witnesses was that I just woke up one day again with a curiosity for a question that came to me, which was I had a moment where I just was like, okay, so if God is omnipotent and God created everything, then that means that God created a world where like evil and good exist, and that there is possibility for evil to exist. And so, if God created a world where that is possible, then that means that God wanted evil to be in this world, or that God is also evil too. And that was something that was just like, whoa, like that is wild to think about. And I spoke to the people at my church, and they just were like, you're reading too many books. Like, you need to stop thinking, basically. And that, of course, was not sufficient for me as an answer. And so that was really what made me be like, okay, I'm not going to get what I need in life from this place. And it just didn't really feel valuable to me anymore. And of course, I also realized that I didn't agree with a lot of what they had to say. And so, but it was, I would say it was a challenge because then it put me in a different position where I was now kind of moving into more academia and, you know, there was a moment where, like, for example, my brothers were really weirded out that I didn't want to just get a job and that I was spending so much time researching or that I wanted to go abroad. Like, this was just like a very non-normative way of existing. And, but for me, it just felt really important to do this and one to differentiate, I would say. And also, I'm someone who's had such a hunger for getting to know other communities, other people, for expanding myself, making myself uncomfortable. Like, those are all things that I think I relish in. I have the constitution for that. I do recognize that a lot of people don't like to dive into the unknown, but my moon is in Scorpio, and I feel like that is definitely something that's guided me a lot of like, I want to be in the unknown. I want to see what happens. Like, I used to have a friend that we would always joke this idea of like, I want to be disappointed, and kind of like opening up possibility where you don't care if the outcome is good or not. Like, it's really about letting things happen or diving into possibility and disappointment kind of. Of being seen as something negative, but knowing that disappointment sometimes is a reference point you need, or that disappointment can let you know what you do want. And so, kind of like expanding what you see as Needed for growth, I guess. That's like a big part of it too, is that I see the unknown as a place of growth and transformation. And I think that's why I'm so attracted to it. But again, I know that not everyone's like this. So I want to also name that too.
Oh, this is so inspiring to me. And I had a little bit of intuition while you were just speaking. I was thinking about your curiosity as being like an overarching theme of what you represent and how empowering that is. And when I was in Santa Fe a few years ago, I went to the Meow Wolf Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just had one open up in Denver. I think it was last year that it finally opened. And I was wondering if you have ever been invited to do an exhibition there, or if you've been to Meow Wolf, and your art seems so much in align with that.
Yeah, I actually, I was invited out to Santa Fe last year to go visit an art institution there. And I did have a chance to go to Meow Wolf while I was there. And I could so see why you would say that. I have not been invited to show work there, but I could totally see why you would think that, because it is a place that really does spark curiosity. And I was really struck with like how little curatorial contextualization they did in the Meow Wolf experience, and because they really wanted it to be open to people's like interpretations, and they wanted people to create stories out of what they experienced. And that to me was so jarring, because I'm so used to going to art experiences and having like a curator statement helping you understand what you're seeing. And it was so interesting to be in a place where that was like really left out, you know, and that you had to be the one to create a narrative. And I found that really fascinating. And yeah, but maybe at some point they'll invite me to do something, because I do see like how, yeah, my aesthetic and the fact that I do enjoy curiosity so much would definitely fit.
Yeah, I haven't been to the one in Denver. I am going to have to go now.
Yeah.
it's so, if anyone gets an opportunity to go to either of them, one Denver, one in Santa Fe, oh, it's so worth the, yeah, I mean, you could spend hours there.
Yeah.
It's truly a mind trip. I think I just felt, I walked out of the one in Santa Fe and went, did I just take acid, or like, I don't really know my reality.
Yeah.
It was so cool. It was really cool. And I think it's a place where you can also go back to and have a different experience. Like, it was just physically and mind and emotionally an immersive experience. And it's definitely worth going.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna have to go to the Denver one and check that out now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you mentioned that you have an offering coming up called Embodied Alchemy. And I was wondering if you could, it's coming up soon in March.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if you could explain what that is.
Yeah. So I'm offering through my therapy practice, I'm offering a 12-week process and support group for artists. And it's going to be virtual, so people can join from wherever they are. And it's going to be like a weekly consistent place for artists to come to share and to connect and to process. And so if you don't know what process group is essentially just a space that's open for whatever you're bringing. And usually there's a check-in, and then people are able to say if they want space or not within the group. And if you do want space, and you're allowed to share what happened or what you're experiencing, and then people share reflections or support. And so it's a really beautiful way of creating community, and of also allowing people to have a space that's consistent, where you know that you could come to it once a week. I am opening it up for it to be like an open group, in the sense of people can join it at any time. And so I just want to let folks know that it does start on March 21st, but it's going to go all the way to the end of May. And so if you hear this at some point and you're interested, definitely feel free to reach out. And you can find out more through my website, which is therapywithedgar.com.
Oh, wow. That sounds really interesting. So you're going it's basically kind of an open group between March and May, and then you'll have set times and all that information's on your website.
Yeah, definitely.
Is it just for artists, or is it for what's the group?
Yeah, it's for artists like that. Yeah, I wanted just to focus it on artists because I know that like we have a very specific way of showing up in the world. We have specific challenges. And so I wanted to create a space for our community to be able to connect and support each other, especially because I know that like, you know, for example, yesterday I went to this institution here in LA where they're asking me to do a talk for high schoolers to share about how I got into art. And they said one of the reasons being is that like a lot of people are interested in art, love art, but that it's such a nebulous career choice. And it does require a lot of maneuvering and inside knowledge. And so I do feel like we have a very specific set of ways that we navigate the world. And so that's like why I feel like it's important to create a space for artists to connect with each other and share, just because we understand each other. We get our experience that we're having as we're trying to be artists. And I'm definitely open to all kinds of artists. And by artists, I could also say musician, creative, performer. I'm really broad with how I see the word artist, but it's really anyone who is, as you named earlier, having to really tune into their inner voice, having to share it, having to then try to monetize it. Like there's so much that comes with stepping into that role of artist, especially if we're wanting to do it professionally, or especially if we want to do it publicly, there's so much that comes up. And so to have a space to get supported, I feel like is really important. I know I've received so much support from group spaces like this, and that's why I felt really called to offer it as a resource too for our communities.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I will definitely put the link, and maybe I'll try to get this episode out pretty quick since you've got this starting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so I might. Awesome. Yeah, some of my other guests that I have recorded, I can move some things around. Which is kind of nice.
I'd appreciate that. That'd be wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just going to mention that, I'm bringing this thought up because one of my good friends has just started doing art. And I started thinking about this. Have you noticed, and our world is really crazy right now, and we won't even go into that.
Yeah.
I think we all know that the energy is very frantic and chaotic, and there's a lot of stress in the world right now from multiple different reasons.
Yeah.
But one thing I've noticed is that I see a lot of people dipping their toes into art and artistic endeavors. And there's a rejection, I think, of maybe the way things have been done. Maybe it's kind of like a tag onto the whole quiet quitting thing that happened after the, post pandemic.
Right.
But I see a lot of people like questioning the big questions in life. Like, what am I doing here? Why am I here? And then maybe tapping into like art or artistic expression, or maybe it's music or, writing or whatever it is. Have you noticed that kind of an energy? It's almost like an energy shift, I think I'm picking up. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I do feel like, I think there's so many thoughts I have about your question. So the first thing that comes up is I think about a meme I saw a while back that talked about how there's this kind of running joke in the art community of there being sometimes folks who enter into the art realm who are trust fund kids, who just have money and are able to just do art and are really successful because they have resources. And, that is something that I think sometimes people complain about. But also I saw this meme that really showed like, wow, so when humans are able to have all their basic needs met, when they have money, what they choose to do is art. And that was something that was just really impactful to think of it in that way, that so many of us have a creative voice that we want to share, that we want to express. And I do feel like, there has been what I see as like a war on imagination, on our intuition, on our creativity. And a lot of us have been co-opted by this notion that we're meant to be professionals and we're meant to have like a good job. And fall in line into this place. And so many people are rejecting that notion. And of course, what we come then to is like, oh, well, I have something inside of me that's been saying something that I'm now wanting to bring out into the world that does maybe go against these narratives that we've been told. I know, for example, like I had so much noise around me growing up telling me that art was the wrongest, most stupidest decision I could ever make. And again, I had to contend with that constantly. And that is like one of the reasons why I decided to do 2 degrees and have 2 careers, because like I do love psychology and I love being a therapist. And it's something that I feel like I'm have capacity in, but also I do feel like if I didn't have all that noise, I would have really wanted to just be an artist and to live whatever that means, right? Artist is such an expansive word that I could have done support or healing or education in other ways. But I do feel like I had so much noise come up around the precarity of the art career. And so I do feel like people are pushing up against that too, of like, I've been told that this is wrong, or I've been told that I shouldn't do this. But it's something that I'm called to, or something that it just feels natural. And I do feel like humans are creative. Like we are all creative, and creativity is something that is so nourishing, so restorative, so healing. And again, with what you named, we are in a time of so much uncertainty, volatility, that we need these spaces to get contemplative, to connect with ourselves more than ever, I feel. And so it's not surprising for all those reasons I shared that I feel like people are turning more towards art and really diving into it. And I think that's also why I have felt called to really, specialize my practice in working with artists, because I just know that like we do require a certain level of support and understanding that, you know, maybe a traditional therapist won't understand, like, you know. And I know this because I do feel like I've received so much help from artist friends, where I'm able to talk about specific situations that like a, you know, person who has a 9-to-5 would just be like, why is this an issue? Or I don't get why you care about this thing, you know, but an artist will understand the nuance of the situation. And so I think in a similar way, like I want to be that resource. And I think that's also why I'm being called to create a group, is that just how powerful will it be to have a group of people who all get your experience and who understand why you're feeling a certain way and able to maybe share support from their own perspective. I think that is so powerful to do.
I like that. thank you so much for expanding on that. And so I'll put any of these links, including your website, in the show notes. And I just want to thank you so much for coming on and sharing this. It's not only wisdom, knowledge. It just feels like an expansive conversation. And if you'd like to learn more about what Edgar's offering or doing or can share with you, please check out the website and all the resources. And your website is, I was going to mention all of the, because you have a link on there about all of the media things that you've been involved in, and all of your exhibition, like your art exhibitions,
yeah,
and then your therapy practice. And there's a lot of content out there.
Yes.
I'm just on your exhibitions alone. You've been very busy.
Yeah, yeah. And I just want to name for your listeners that, so I have 2 websites. One is therapywithedgar.com, the one I mentioned. That's like my therapy website. But then, yeah, if you go to edgarfabianfrias.org, that is like my massive archive in the sense of my work. And so if you're interested in seeing what my art looks like, go to my website, which is my name. And you could also find my therapy practice through that too. So yeah, that is kind of like the main link that has all my background, and you can see what my art looks like and where I've shown it.
Yeah, and it's really amazing. Definitely check that out. And I think you also have a few, there was a YouTube video of the lights exhibition that you did. Was that in LA or?
Which one are you talking about?
It was on the news, and they had like a drone flying over of your light exhibition on the building.
So I showed at the Salesforce Tower in San Francisco for Pride last year. I showed a video art on top. That was a spell.
Oh, so cool. It was so very, oh gosh, it was really neat.
And that's all on YouTube too. Yeah, so I definitely have a YouTube channel. Definitely invite folks to subscribe and check out the videos I have there. I have a lot of my art videos on there too. It's kind of also become an archive as well for me too.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Well, thank you so much, Edgar. I really appreciate you coming
on.
Thank
you so much, Monica, for having me. I'm just so grateful to connect with you and I really appreciate your questions and everything that we talked about today.
Absolutely. I hope everyone enjoyed this. I know I sure did. Hey, thanks for listening today to another great episode. I sure enjoy hearing about these experiences, and I hope you do also. Be sure and like or follow this show by leaving a 5-star review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen. If you have an experience or story you'd like to share, be sure and reach out to verbalecho@gmail.com. See you in the next episode, friends. Have a great week.